Today's reading will be from the book of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I'm having flashbacks of that little 5-year-old boy that showed up here so many years ago. I think isn't that about how old he was when you started coming? Yeah. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, whether we're in this room or we're watching from home or we're listening, may it all be suitable and acceptable to you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I want to read again a little bit of the passage that Peter read, and this is verse 34 and 35. "I give you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples. It's when you love each other." I think it's pretty safe to say that this is probably the simplest and clearest and yet hardest command of all to do. Perhaps than any other single verse in the New Testament, this one should cause us to pause and to think about what it is that we do and how we behave, to love one another. Now, on one level, it's really easy to do. It's no sweat. You think nice thoughts about people. You smile. You do an occasional good deed. And you center your life around the tenets of a Hallmark movie. It's all about love. When was the last time you watched a Hallmark movie that wasn't about love? And they're all the same, whether it's the Christmas ones or the other ones. Boy has girl, loves girl, loses girl, boy finds new girl, loves girl, and everything is happy. I could be a writer for Hallmark. I wonder if there's any stories about pastors. Oh, well. We know how to do that. We know how to be nice. Because we're generally nice people, right? Right? Nobody's going to say I'm not a nice person. You're all nice people. But wait. You see, Jesus doesn't stop there. He also says, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." That's the part, friends, that's the part that we run from. We might think that love is a pretty good idea. But Jesus doesn't say to just love any old way. He's got a different idea. He wants us to love Jesus' way. We're to love just like Jesus did, just like the cross. You die to self, loving Jesus' way. It's not safe, and it's surely not comfortable sometimes. But it's a non-negotiable command for all those who choose to follow Christ. I was with probably, what do you think, Patty? We probably had at least 100 people or more there, 100, 150 people. I knew 4 people there, 4. It was not comfortable. But by the time we were done marching, I can't tell you how many people I had talked to. The lady who organized Mamas Against Violence here in South Bend came running up to Patty and I saying that they were going to do a march in September as well, and she wanted to make sure that we were going to be there and that maybe I could speak or we could do something. I met new friends, but I came away smiling and feeling the love of Christ like I hadn't felt in a while. You know, we were together from about 11 o'clock in the morning till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And lots of hugging, lots of laughter, lots of love. We weren't all United Methodists. We weren't all Seventh-day Adventists. A multitude of denominations. And yet we all came together and we loved one another. What Jesus teaches compared to how we live most of the time is sometimes too much for us to bear. Do we really love that way? Are we capable of loving that way? And here's the kicker, do we really want to live and love that way? Poses a real dilemma for us. I want to tell you what one Christian writer has written. Said, it is decidedly impractical to love as Jesus loves. It's amazing to me that we church folk aren't mad at Jesus more than what we are because of what Christ asks of us. For his teachings challenge much of what we hold so dear. But if we read the Bible closely, we have to be prepared to be bothered. We have to prepare to be poked. To love as Jesus loved is to love, and it's not based on our opinion. It's not based on our prejudices or our feelings of justice at any given moment. It's unconditional. It includes everyone, everywhere, and it excludes nobody. Your comments this morning about our brothers and sisters, no matter what, there are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving the way Jesus does doesn't just stop partway, it goes all the way. I want to tell you a story. A man says that his phone rang some time ago, and it was one of his friends whose daughter had been murdered in a nearby state. A very painful and tragic event. And the man recalled that once they were on a hike, his friend had told him that he eventually wanted to visit his daughter's murderer. Well, that day had arrived, and that's why he was calling his friend. He and his wife had been to the sentencing hearing of the man who shot and killed his daughter. You know, he said on the phone, we talked to him and we offered him forgiveness. There was silence on the phone for a while because somehow or another the man who was listening wasn't expecting to hear that, wasn't expecting that this man would pray with the murderer of his daughter, that he would offer to forgive him in the name of Christ. The man went on to say that they went down there thinking that there would be some sort of closure for he and his wife by this trip. And maybe it would help end some of the pain that they were feeling. And he said, here it is. It seems that God had another plan. God was opening up a new chapter in my wife and my life. He had said that they were going to continue to visit with this young man. That's love, friends. That's what the love of Christ does to us. A long time ago, as Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus, the Lamb of God, prayed for the very people who were killing him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Love one another, he said. And just like that, he gave us the command. It may take us a while to get our minds around it. It may take us our whole lifetime to get our minds around this love that Christ calls us to. But it is also at the very core of getting to know and discovering who the true God is and what God is calling us to do. You know, sometimes our faith can be so shallow. And along with our faith being shallow, our loving is shallow. But the love that Christ calls us to, the love that Christ has for us, it's anything but shallow. Jesus' love is all about the other person. It overflows into service, not in order to show off how hard we're all working, but because it's just natural. Jesus' love is obedient. Throughout Jesus' ministry on earth, he emphasized that he was in constant communion with God. God, his Father. He didn't do anything without God's permission, guidance, and consultation. How many times do we read in the Bible that Jesus went off to pray to God, to seek that guidance? Jesus told us, I and the Father are one. And that obedient love brought Jesus into some very amazing places. It took him to a wedding where he turned water into wine. It also took him to the dark places of outer society where the lepers lived. It caused him to raise a dead girl back to life, to calm a storm, to heal the demon possessed, to weep for a dear friend, to face the institutions of his day with unwavering confidence and truth. Took him to teach the masses about the love of God, to rescue a woman about to be stoned, to heal the blind, to make friends with prostitutes and tax collectors. Oh my, who does that? He had immeasurable patience with a group of disciples who never, ever seemed to get it, right down to the very end. He healed on the Sabbath. He lived radically to the core. And he went all the way to the cross for the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. As followers of Jesus, where are we called to go? I can tell you right now, I'd have much rather stayed home. I got a lot of yard work to do yesterday. It was a great day, and I'm thinking it's going to start raining any moment. Where are we called to go? Who are we called to love? And what does that look like, friends? There's a book called Making a Life in the Way of Jesus by Sol Graffiti. Actually, it's by Mark Scandretti, I think. He writes about a time when he was on a bus ride home from work, and he befriended an elderly man who seemed lonely and in need of a friend. The man lived in a rusty old school bus in a vacant lot downtown. When Mark told the man that he was a follower of Jesus, the man became very angry and he yelled at him to get out of his bus, to leave him alone. He didn't want to have anything to do with him or his Jesus. But instead of giving up on that man, Mark, along with some other members of his church, began visiting the man several times a week. They brought him groceries. They helped to cut his hair and clip his toenails. And gradually, the guy started to trust their friendship, and he began to open up to them. Mark writes that one December, the man confided in him, I just want to let you know I'm going to kill myself on New Year's Eve. As he tried to talk him out of it, telling him that God loved him, the man replied bitterly, nobody has ever cared for me. They haven't cared anything about me. Mark continues by telling the story that at Christmas, we decided that we were going to throw a party for him, including his favorite foods and a birthday cake. I told him that I was going to bring my family along. Well, there was a full moon on that December evening when they knocked on the door of the bus. The man came to the door with a thin young woman who Mark recognized as one of the local prostitutes who lived in a trailer down the street. She joined in with them along with one of her clients. And Mark continues, we ate by candlelight, serenaded by music from a transistor radio. The man declared that the food, a collection of dishes that he had requested, was most delicious. And after dinner, he said that his wife, Lisa, put candles on the cake. Let's sing happy birthday to someone who hasn't celebrated their birthday in a while, Mark suggested. Now, who could we sing happy birthday to? Just then, beaming, his three-year-old son, Noah, blurted out, well, it's Christmas. Let's sing happy birthday to Jesus. Mark cringed and panicked because he knew the name of Jesus was the worst thing that could be said in front of their new friend. Mark waited to see how he was going to react. Slowly, a big, toothless grin came to the man's face, and he looked at the little boy and he said, yes, let's sing happy birthday to Jesus. Mark continued, under a clear and starry night, the eight of us sang together. Lisa, me, a streetwalker and her John, and a man who had never experienced love before, and three small blonde children with red cheeks. As I helped the man back into his bus, he turned to me and said, this was the best night of my life. Thank you. Friend, Jesus lets us in on this big secret. Love one another, because that's the key to life. It's the only way to find joy and happiness and to provide us true freedom. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. In other words, Jesus has given us the immeasurable privilege of living like him and then spreading God's love to the world just like Jesus did. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. Friends, do people know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do they look at your life? Do they listen to your words? Do they watch your actions and know that you are a follower and believer in the Most High King? Are they able to see by the way you love who you are in Christ? Where is God calling you to go? Who is God calling you to reach out to with God's love this morning? And where are you not loving as Jesus does? Who are you not loving as Jesus loves? My friends, don't miss out. Don't miss out on the joy that we have. Don't allow anything to get in the way. Make loving the most important part of your life. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus calls this a new commandment. But the newness isn't so much a matter of never having heard words like that before. It's a matter of the depth and the type of this love. As I said a long time ago, as he hung on the cross, Jesus prayed for the very people who were killing him. And he said, love one another. Just like that. May it be so with all of us. Amen.